Well, good morning. If I've not had a chance to meet you yet, my name is John Henderson, associate pastor at Delray Baptist Church in Virginia. Married to Ruth, 19 years. We got 5 kiddos. Life is fun and exciting. Ministry is fun and exciting. It's always one of the highlights of my year. I think this is 6 or 7 years or so in a row coming. And so, yeah, always a joy to be here with track 4. Death is better to me than life. That's the topic I've been assigned for our time together. Let me begin with some prayer. Well, Father, we first want to begin by saying thank you for the grace that you have lavished upon us in Jesus Christ, for the hope of life everlasting, for the forgiveness of our sins, for reconciliation to you, so that death in one way really should sound better than life, because to depart means to be with the Lord, to see you face to face. And so we pray that you would give us, even in this time, a godly longing for death, but that you would also at the same time remove from us all the ungodly reasons we long for death. And even more, that you would equip us to minister the word faithfully to our brothers and sisters in Christ who long for death and find it more attractive than life. And that you would help us to minister faithfully to those who don't know you, who have a wrong understanding of what life after death means, of what facing you apart from Christ will mean. And so equip us, we pray, in the wise ministry of the word, in Christ's name. Amen. Certainly in recent years, many of you probably heard the stats, around 800,000 people across the world take their lives in suicide. 42 to 48,000 of those are here in the United States per year. Those are the kinds of numbers that make the headlines. But what about people who simply desire death, but don't follow through with it? Don't carry that out into some act of suicide. They just find death more attractive than life. Surely those situations are too many to number. More than we could imagine. And if all of us are honest, we have to admit that at some point in life, every human will come to a point where they think death sounds better than life. I would have to think almost everyone in this room, looking around, looking at your ages, must have been there at some point where you thought, I'd rather be dead. Now, you're not thinking, I'm going to go kill myself. You're just thinking, if I don't wake up tomorrow, I won't mind. If I were to have a heart attack and just fall over, that'll be okay with me. And so not only do we have to be prepared for that feeling, that thought, that experience, we have to be prepared to minister to those who sit in front of us who are in that place, where that's the very thing they're thinking, they're feeling. That's what's burdening them. And it may not be that they just come in and say, you know what, I'd rather die than live. But we'll say things like, I just want it to end. We'll say those kinds of things. I just want it all to end. I can't take anymore. Even that statement captures the idea. I just can't take anymore. It's not worth going on. Or this will never get better. Or I'm so tired of living. Or I just want it all to go away. Or, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? Sometimes we'll say that for any number of reasons. And that very much expresses the idea, I'd rather this life end and the next one begin. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Or you may just notice this deep sense of defeat in their countenance. The more they talk, the more you realize they're overcome by just what I call total life exhaustion. Where, to use the psalmist's words, it's in your bones. It's a way of saying it's in the very deepest little molecules of your being, this desire for it to end. That life has become victorious over them, where you feel conquered. Whatever this battle is against life, it has won. I'm defeated. And so we need to prepare for those kinds of conversations and be ready for those kinds of conversations, because they will come. And certainly if you're part of a church or a ministry that is gracious, that is warm, that is merciful, that is inviting, that is a place where people can be honest and transparent, for sure these things will be said. I sure hope they are. And we want to beware of just, first of all, the temptation to counsel through human wisdom. This is one reason we have to have this conversation, because there will be an impulse in all of us just to counsel through human wisdom. Firstly, with fear. In other words, that person sits across from you and says, you know, I just don't want to be here anymore. I want to die. And you panic, right? And immediately it hits you, oh no. And the thought crosses your mind, the worst thing we could do here is talk about it. And so, and you begin to speak out of anxiety. You may say something like, okay, you need to stop thinking like that. You need to stop talking that way. Because you're uncomfortable. And you think, okay, the more we talk about this, the more likely it is that they're going to do something. When it's really the opposite. The more you shut it down, the more you silence it, the more it's suppressed and goes underground, the more deadly it gets. Or you may use anxiety as a motivation to the person not to act on that desire. You know, if you follow through with this, you may not be a Christian. Now, why would we say something like that at that moment, other than to try to use anxiety and fear and doubt as a motivation? Or with anger, that in our distress, hearing somebody desire death, we can sometimes become frustrated and angry. You know, sometimes that's what comes out of us when we're sitting across from a really uncomfortable situation. How can you think this way as a Christian? How can you be so selfish? Or we make it even more personal. What's wrong with you? Snap out of it. Where anger and frustration is what's actually compelling what we say and how we respond. Or with just mere logical arguments. Perhaps we think mere reason is the answer. We just need to reason it out. Just use rational thinking because they're being irrational. We'll say things like, this will pass with time. Just give it time. We'll say things like, look on the bright side. We'll say things like, okay, just count your blessings. All the cliches that we'll start unloading at that moment that are sort of rooted in this sense of reason and rational thinking and logical argument. And then you're going to backfire because we don't realize how rational it is sometimes to desire death more than life. How reasonable it actually is to think that way. Again, some of these things may be true. It may pass with time. It may be worth thinking about all the things you might be thankful for. But we have to ask ourselves, does that really get to the heart of the struggle? Does that really get to just the center of what's going on? Or maybe we use emotional pleas rather than persuade with anxiety or anger or logic. We try to get them to feel something bad about what they're thinking and saying in order to motivate them to turn around. To feel how awful what they're thinking is. What about your parents? What about your spouse? What about your children? What about your friends? What about all the pain you'll cause? What about all the regret you'll feel when you face God? Imagine what it'll be like at your funeral. How upset everyone will be. And so again, it's not always wrong to help people think about others. We'll even talk about that in a little bit. There is a way in which we're meant to help people think about God, about others. But then we have to be careful that we're not using it as just an emotional plea to get them to feel something. And so while it may be scary or frustrating for you, I think the most critical first step is to move toward the person to really hear and see and understand their point of view. Why are you where you are? What's underneath what you're saying, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're desiring? In order to do that well, I think we need to go to the Scripture and understand what are all the reasons we see in Scripture, at least some of them, that people desire death rather than life. And there are too many for us to cover in an hour. The sheer number of examples in Scripture where the saints of God and those who are not the saints of God express those kinds of sentiments. And so it helps us to go and be familiar with the passages and the stories where we see that kind of desire arise, because those are going to be the passages that shape the questions you ask. Those are going to be the passages that shape what you explore with this person, that are actually going to, you know, guide the road that you take. And so we're going to look at 10. That's all we have time for this morning. It's just 10 situations in Scripture, 10 reasons why death can sound much better than life. And the first is failure or fear of failure. Turn a